blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And if a man is always in the midst of some trouble spot, maybe we ought to ask him, are you one of the children of God?
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verse 5, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The real greatness of this beatitude is hidden from modern eyes because the word meek has come down in the world. To modern ears, the word meek describes a weak, flabby, milk and water, spineless creature, lacking all virility and all masculinity, unable to stand up for himself or for anyone else. Those are the kinds of images that have a way of conjuring up in our minds as we think of this word meek. But that is very far from its original meaning. This word meek, as it appears in the original language, the Greek language, is so great and is so comprehensive a word that it almost defies translation. There is hardly a single word in the English language that can accurately convey the content of the Greek word that we translate meek. It's imperative that you and I come to understand what it means to be meek, and that it's imperative that we embrace its implications in our lives. The first thing I want to say to you about meekness is I want to give to you the essence of meekness. I want you to see a logical development in the Beatitudes, and then I want to give you a linguistic or language-oriented definition of the word. I want you to understand what the word means. Meekness is power over power. Power which is held under control by a higher power. Meekness is that controlling factor. The man who has integrated the character quality of meekness into his life is the man who has gained control over the powers of his life, his physical, emotional, intellectual, volitional, spiritual powers are channeled and controlled by God into extremely significant, productive avenues of Christian service. It's a very powerful concept, meekness. I wonder how many of us are meek in that biblical sense. Now, that's the essence of meekness. Quickly, let me give you the expression of it. How can you and I tell whether or not we are meek? Perhaps the best test of meekness is to check our attitudes, because I think it's in the sphere of our attitudes that our meekness or the lack of it will surface. And for a moment, I want us to check our attitudes with respect to four very simple items, and I lift them right out of the Bible. That's why I use them. In each one of these circumstances, the word meekness occurs. And there are more that we could look at. Number one, what is your attitude toward the circumstances of life? There are certain circumstances that God has allowed to invade your life. What is your attitude toward the circumstances of life in which you currently find yourself? Would you say it's meek, that you've got things under control, or not? That will be a revelatory portrait of the absence or presence of meekness in your life. Now, what is your attitude, secondly, toward the Word of God? James 1, verses 19 and 21. You know, James tells us in that passage that we should be slow to speak. You know what that means? We should have meekness in our tongue. And then he says that we should be slow to wrath. That means we should have meekness in our temper. And he knows that's difficult for us to do. And so he goes a step further and he tells us precisely how we're to do that in verse 21. He says, I want you to lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And then he says, what I want you to do is to receive with meekness. That's why I use this passage, because there's the word, meekness, same Greek word, praus or praotes. Receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, what's your attitude toward the Word of God? Do you receive or welcome the Word of God with a spirit of meekness? There's a third attitude that's very important that'll reveal whether or not we're expressing meekness in our lives. And what is your attitude toward a brother who sins? Now, that's a powerful question. What's your attitude toward a brother who sins? Do you feel any sense of personal responsibility for him? Do you try to handle him meekly or maliciously? I read in Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, and I would say there's a whole world of an argument in that very first word of Galatians 6, 1 for helping a faltering brother. He's your brother. He's in the family. He belongs to the same family you do. He's your brother. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, when a Christian brother has fallen into sin, I have two options. I can help him or I can hurt him. I tell you, there are Christians who will hurt other Christians. I hate to have to even be able to say that, but it grieves my heart, but there are Christians who will hurt other Christians. I have two options. I can help him or I can hurt him. The Bible says, I'm to restore such an one. I'm to help him. That word to restore means, it was used in the ancient world, of setting a broken bone. Whenever a brother falters in the family, it ought to affect the spiritual body as a broken bone affects the physical body. It ought to induce grieving and not gossiping. It ought to induce sorrowing and not rejoicing. And I ought to set about by the grace of God to meekly, that is under control, meekly restore him, set the bone. You know, when a doctor sets a bone, he doesn't use a crowbar. He doesn't use a pipe wrench. He gets all his powers under control and does it as gently as he can. And that's the way I'm to do it. You know, the way we treat our fallen brothers and sisters is a very significant barometer of our spiritual vitality. Some Christians are absolutely merciless. We're told to be meek, not merciless, gentle and medicinal, helpful when our brothers falter. That's what prompted David to say in the Old Testament, let me fall into the hands of the Lord, let me not fall into the hand of man. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 13. God's a merciful God. We're to follow that example. Now, there's a final area. What's your attitude toward potential division in the church? Wherever there are people, there's the potential for division. So long as we're in this flesh and until we meet our Lord Jesus Christ and are transformed and transmuted into his likeness, there will be the potential for division. What's your attitude toward potential division in the church? Ephesians 4, 1-3. Paul says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Then he tells us how to walk worthy. With all lowliness and meekness. Endeavoring, he says in verse 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What's your attitude toward potential division in a local church? You know, there are people in every church who are always waiting, anxiously anticipating for opportunities to take sides and divide God's people. I hate to say it, but it's true. In every church, they exist. There's always someone who has some new cause that they're promoting, some new tape that they're disseminating, some new rabbit trail that they're chasing, and they're mad at everybody unless they're chasing the same rabbit they are. I tell you, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing in the body of Christ, what we do in the name of Jesus Christ. The Christian who is meek is not interested in becoming factious or taking sides. He's not interested in self-promotion or self-will. He is interested in exerting every bit of mature effort and energy that he can muster to preserve and protect the biblical unity. We're not talking about compromising unity. The wisdom that comes from above is first pure and then peaceable. We want to be pure first and then peaceable. We're talking about biblical unity. He's interested in mustering every bit of energy that he can to maintain biblical unity, that unity which was spawned by the Holy Spirit in a local church. The man who is meek is always a peacemaker. He's never a troublemaker. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And if a man is always in the midst of some trouble spot, maybe we ought to ask him, are you one of the children of God? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let me ask you this. Do you consider it your personal responsibility? Do you consider it your personal responsibility to make a significant contribution to the maintenance of the unity which exists in this local church? Or would you rather square off with those with whom you differ? You know, the answer to that question will reveal whether or not you possess the great moral virtue of meekness. You know, the effect of meekness is that they'll inherit the earth. You know, there's a sense in which we presently inherit the earth. We are the richest people in all the world. Blessed are the meek. They currently, presently, are satisfied and contented. They sustain a unique relationship with their God, and they're highly favored by their God. There are 9 ways in which they're highly favored. I wish I had time to share them with you. Right out of the Bible, quotations from the Bible. And then, Not only presently do we inherit the earth, but prophetically, prospectively, it will be our great joy to inherit the earth with Jesus Christ. Do you not know, Paul says, that the saints will judge the world? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. When God's great kingdom is established on earth, the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, the queen of heaven, will rule with him who is the king. And in the ultimate and final and very empirical and literal sense, we will inherit the earth throughout all of eternity. So Jesus is telling us something. Jesus is saying this: blessed is the man who has power over power. Blessed is the man who has learned how to harness and domesticate all of his powers. He's under control. He's uniquely dominated by God. Blessed is the man who has every instinct, impulse, and passion under control, because he himself is God-controlled. For such a man is a king among men. And he will reign forever with the King of Kings when he inherits the earth. Let me ask you something. Is your life a continuous manifestation of power out of control? Is your life a continuous manifestation of power out of control? Anger out of control? Lust out of control? Pride? Selfishness? Temper? Tongue out of control? Out from under the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ? Then I'll tell you what you need. You need a healthy dose of salvation. You need a God-controlled life which begins with a personal union with the Son of God. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. If you long for liberation from those things which have you under their control, then you must come to Christ and he will set you free. He'll give you power to control those things which have mastered you. But you say, Pastor, I'm already a Christian. I know I'm saved. And yet, there are certain powerful areas of my life which are not God-controlled. Some of those you just mentioned: anger, pride, lust, selfishness, temper, tongue. What must I do? Let me say this. You have surrendered to the Savior already for salvation. Thank God for that. You've taken the first major step. Now, you must surrender to the Spirit of God for sanctification. Because the Scripture says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And then it says, meekness. You must allow the Spirit of the living God to scrutinize every area of your life. And you must willingly submit to his dictates as he reveals to you those areas of your life which are displeasing to him. You must invite him into every corner and closet of your heart and say, Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Parakletos who inhabits my body, I want you to control every area of my being. I yield to your authority and your sovereignty in my life.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
You and I must develop an appetite for righteousness if we wish to be filled with the richest of God's blessings.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.